Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, in the bill here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it, melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation, Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Let me now turn to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his
policy. FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage.
Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
So-and-so and a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
You can't fool all the people all of the time, but if you fool the right one, then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying, cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they doing when they up in the stars, because I don't believe a word lies. God is hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us. There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the goose is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't want no computer chip in my arm. I don't wanna die by a nuclear bomb. I say we all rush the Pentagon. Pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words will be, I believe man made God. Out of ignorance and fear, if God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership, flipping position. They turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen telling lies to your vision. Every channel got some brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedier? The big corporation, the pigs or the media? Sign of the times, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown. Who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found? It's not coincident. There's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed Huey because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed Huey because you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is motherfucking propaganda.
Groups understand the system, and with this realization, we attempted to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.
Ride again. You know I'll ride again. It's all the same. world, I fight you, I fight myself. I fight God to tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorstep. Life to live in hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bump the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Take my pain to me.
My nigga,
this game wasn't so new.
streets who ain't missed the beat. Do it for the deaf and the blind and those who don't even need. Do it for all the churn of the corn and the unborn. Do it for the speedy trials and all the lies in the poor. How you gonna teach a man, old Mr. Crooked Ass preacher man, when your whole congregation driving them brand new Benz and bike, brand new stands, loud on a million man, and all my brothers, sisters, them daddy, them doing time in the pen.
Ain't nothing stopping me, ain't nothing stopping me, ain't nothing free.
No,
no way, not in America.
Not America.
Not America.
Not in America.
Our country, liberty,
liberty,
and liberty.
Not in this America.
Not in America.
No.
This man wasn't
telling
me.
Told
me. He was telling me.
Told
me. Free.
No.
No way. Not in America.
Not America.
Not America.
Not in America.
Our country is
a
liberty.
Is
liberty.
In world news today, officials decree that rapper Brad Jordan, alias Scarface, must be stopped. After being monitored by Secret Service agents for 2 years, evidence leads tobacco and firearms officials to believe that his literally dope lyrics promote drug usage and distribution, degrade women, influence gambling, promote and teach violence, and more importantly, it's influencing our minors and destroying our communities. Officials say he's the lord of underground rap. Him and his music must be stopped.
We got this whole motherfucker on the mission. Now the whole entire world has gotta try to come up with the quickest decision. They claim we threats to society, and now they calling on the government to try to make somebody quiet for the bullshit they done to me. Gangsta Nip fights one that Tupac never gave a gun to me. So gangsta rap ain't done shit for that. I've even seen white folks from River Oaks don't get to get. So why you trying to kick some dust up? America's always been known for blaming us niggas, but they fucked up. And we were always considered evil. Now they're trying to bust our only code of communicating with our people. Let's peep the game from a different angle. Matt Dillon pulled his pistol every time him when someone tangled. So why you criticize me for the shit that you see on your TV? That freaks worse than PG. Just bring your ass to where they got me, so you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong.
So now they trying separation and sending black folks in white coats to infiltrate our congregation, tapping into our conversation, taking the message that they get, bring forth wrong premeditation. So David's got a silver man, while listening to Brad, David gets pissed and killed his dad. David Duke's got a shotgun. So why you get upset? Cause I got one. A chest kit, a casket. A nigga got his ass kicked, shot in the face by a cop, closed casket. An open and shut situation. Cop gets got, they wanna blame it on my occupation. If you don't jig me, then nigga, you can sue me. Cause the shit that I be saying ain't worse than a Western movie. Don't blame me, blame your man, got it. So you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
You better free your mind before I free my nine and stop fucking with Detroit up top. I feel my hot rocks. Bang, bang, boom, boom, ping, ping. I'm the black, white boy's got a magazine and don't know how to act. I attack and make you vomit. Down with Khaled, I do Muhammad. Do we got a brother? I'm McNeil. I'm the illest. Wanna kill this house, nigga, Don Cornelius. Can you feel this? You punk niggas make me sick. Sucking on the devil, dick, scared of revolution. Need to start douching. Houston is the place. I caught a case. The motherfuckers tried to put a scar on my face.
but I bust two times to the guts, do the Reverend Calvin bust, got a pair of nuts, I started this gangsta shit in 86, now you're dissing me, for publicity, isn't he a hoe to the third degree, who me, I'm a G that like to scrap a lot, down with rap a lot, and I can't stop, won't stop, so fuck Bill and Hillary, Ice Cube, it ain't no killing me, Ice Cube, Scarface, dropping it on these sellout ass niggas. Doing it like
nigga don't believe that song, that niggas wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga don't believe that song, that niggas wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
In this crooked game of power politics here in America, the Negro, namely the race problem, integration, civil rights issue, are all nothing but tools used by the whites who call themselves liberals against another group of whites who call themselves conservatives, either to get into power or to retain power. Among whites here in America, the political teams are no longer divided into Democrats and Republicans. The whites who are now struggling for control of the American political throne are divided into liberal and conservative camps. The white liberals from both parties cross party lines to work together toward the same goal. And white conservatives from both parties do likewise. The white liberal differs from the white conservative only in one way. The liberal is more deceitful, more hypocritical than the conservative. Both want power, but the white liberal is the one who has perfected the art of posing as the Negro's friend and benefactor. And by winning the friendship and support of the Negro, the white liberal is able to use the Negro as a pawn or a weapon in this political football game that is constantly raging between the white liberals and the white conservatives. The American Negro is nothing but a political football, and the white liberals control this ball through tricks or tokenism, false promises of integration and civil rights. In this game of deceiving and using the American Negro, the white liberals have complete cooperation of the Negro civil rights leader, who sell our people out for a few crumbs of token recognition, token gain, token progress. In the New York Tribune, in an editorial dated February the 5th, 1960, they pointed out that out of 11 million qualified Negro voters, only 2,700,000 actually take time to vote. This means that, roughly speaking, only 3 million out of the 11 million Negroes who are qualified to vote take an active part, and the remaining 8 million remain voluntarily inactive. And yet it is this small minority, the 3 million Negro voters, who help determine who will be the next president. If who will be the next president can be influenced by 3 million Negro voters, it is easy to see why the presidential candidates of both political parties put on such a false show with the civil rights bill and promises of integration. They must impress the 3 million voting Negroes who are the actual integration seekers. And if so much fuss is made over these 3 million integration seekers, what would the presidential candidates have to do to appease the 8 million non-voting Negroes if they ever decided to become politically active? They hold the balance of power. Who are the 8 million non-voting Negroes? What do they want? And why don't they vote? The 3 million Negro voters are the so-called middle class Negroes, or high-class Negroes, or uppity Negroes, who are referred to by the late Howard University sociology professor E. Franklin Frazier as the black bourgeoisie, who have been educated to think as patriotic individualists with no racial pride whatsoever, who believe in and look forward to the future integrated, intermarried society that is constantly being promised to them by the Negro politician. And therefore, this integration-minded 3 million minority remain an active part of the white-controlled political parties. But it must never be overlooked that these 3 million Negro integration seekers are only a small minority of the 11 million qualified Negro voters. The 8 million non-voting Negroes are the majority, the downtrodden black masses. They have refused to vote. They've refused to take a part in politics because they reject the Uncle Tom approach of the clergy politician leadership that has been handpicked for the so-called Negroes by the white man himself. This clergy politician leadership does not speak for the Negro majority. They don't speak for the black masses. They speak for the black bourgeoisie, the brainwashed, white-minded, middle-class minority, who, because they are ashamed of their race, because they are ashamed of being black, and don't want to be identified with black, they are seeking to lose this black identity by mixing and mingling and intermarrying and integrating with the white society.
You will see nothing but betrayals by the petty bourgeois elements in our society. The African bourgeoisie is the most corrupt bourgeoisie in the world. In Africa, they seek luxury in the midst of mass suffering. There are more Mercedes in Africa than in any other continent in the world. In America, as soon as they arrive at a position based on the blood of the people, they snatch that position and run away from the people. But you must not think that they represent the people. They only represent their opportunistic self, using the people every step of the way. So you must not be confused. It must be clear then, for the 60s, the class struggle in the African Revolution must be more ruthless and uncompromising than in any other revolution. Here then, the masses must come without pity and without mercy to trample upon these reactionary pigs who, after the people have gained struggle through their blood, come to hand back the gains on a silver platter to the very enemy the people fought. This will come as a natural consequence. The people themselves are everywhere screaming that it's time for them to deal with these reactionary pigs. Even in America, they say, our leaders must be held accountable. They're only saying here that these people must be accountable to those who made it possible for them to get there. Thus, not only is the revolution inevitable, but it is clarifying itself and it is qualifying itself. For the African masses everywhere, the clairvoyant position now for class struggle has become inevitable and irreversible. The petty bourgeoisie everywhere will be running for cover, but the masses will spare them not. Consequently, we who have dedicated our lives to the people's struggle, we who, knowing that the people will always be free, we, understanding that we must make a contribution to qualify our struggle since the 60s, have been dedicating all our energies to only one task, the organization of the masses of our people. The organization of the masses of our people. We are not running for mayor. We're not running for president. No changes can come from the top down. We're not stupid. Changes can only come from the bottom up. The masses and the masses alone can make them. If you want to learn something from the 60s, the lesson is simple. Organize the masses of the people. Thank you.
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
For the gun in my arm, the black is for the gun in my
and I did not end up here from bad karma off of B-ball, selling mad crack or rapping. Peter Tosh tried to tell us what happened. He was saying if you black, then you African. So they had to kill him and make him a villain, cause he was teaching the children. I feel him, Dunn was trying to drop us a real gem. That's why we bucking holes in the ceiling when we hearing I'm an African.
Richer and richer, the community out of which you take your money becomes poorer and poorer. And because these Negroes who have been misled and misguided are breaking their necks to take their money and spend it with the man is becoming richer and richer and you're becoming poorer and poorer. And then what happens? The community in which you live becomes a slum. It becomes a ghetto. The conditions become run down. And then you have the audacity to complain about poor housing in a rundown community. Why, you run it down yourself when you take your dollar out. And you and I are in a double trap, because not only do we lose by taking our money someplace else and spending it, when we try and spend it in our own community, we're trapped because we haven't had sense enough to set up stores and control the businesses of our community. The man who's controlling the stores in our community is a man who doesn't look like we do. He's a man who doesn't even live in the community. So you and I, even when we try and spend our money in the block where we live or the area where we live, we're spending it with a man who, when the sun goes down, takes that basket full of money in another part of the town. So we're trapped, double trapped, triple trapped. Anywhere we go, we find that we're trapped. And every kind of solution that someone comes up with is just another trap. But the political and economic philosophy of black nationalism, the economic philosophy of black nationalism shows our people the importance of setting up these little stores and developing them and expanding them into larger operations. Woolworth didn't start out big like they are today. They started out with a dime store and expanded and expanded and expanded until today they're all over the country and all over the world and they're getting some of everybody's money. Now, this, what you and I and General Motors, the same way, didn't start out like it is. It started out just a little rat race type operation. And it expanded and expanded until today it's where it is right now. And you and I have to make a start. And the best place to start is right in the community where we live. So our people not only have to be re-educated to the importance of supporting black business, but the black man himself has to be made aware of the importance of going into business. And once you and I go into business, we own and operate at least the businesses in our community, what we will be doing is developing a situation wherein we will actually be able to create employment for the people in the community. And once you can create some employment in the community where you live, it will eliminate the necessity of you and me having to act ignorantly and disgracefully boycotting and picketing some cracker someplace else trying to beg him for a job. Anytime you have to rely upon your enemy for a job, you're in bad shape. And he is your enemy. Anything, you wouldn't be in this country if some enemy hadn't kidnapped you and brought you here. On the other hand, some of you think you came here on the Mayflower. So as you can see, brothers and sisters, today, this afternoon, it's not our intention to discuss religion. We're going to forget religion. If we bring up religion, we'll be in an argument. And the best way to keep away from arguments and differences, as I said earlier, put your religion at home, in the closet. Keep it between you and your God. Because if it hasn't done anything more for you than it has, you need to forget it anyway. Whether you are a Christian or a Muslim or a nationalist, we all have the same problem. They don't hang you because you're a Baptist, they hang you because you're black. They don't attack me because I'm a Muslim, they attack me because I'm black. They attack all of us for the same reason. All of us catch hell from the same enemy. We're all in the same bag, in the same boat. We suffer political oppression, economic exploitation, and social degradation. All of them from the same enemy. The government has failed us. You can't deny that. Anytime you live in the 20th century, 1964, and you walking around here singing, "We shall overcome," the government has failed us. This is part of what's wrong with you. You do too much singing. Today it's time to stop singing and start swinging. You can't sing up on freedom, but you can swing up on some freedom. Cassius Clay can sing, but singing didn't help him to become the heavyweight champion of the world. Swinging helped him. But this government has failed us. The government itself has failed us. And the white liberals who have been posing as our friends have failed us. And once we see that all these other sources to which we turn have failed, we stop turning to them and turn to ourselves. We need a self-help program, a do-it-yourself philosophy, a do-it-right-now philosophy, it's already too late philosophy. This is what you and I need to get with. And the only way we're going to solve our problem is with a self-help program. Before we can get a self-help program started, we have to have a self-help philosophy. Black nationalism is a self-help philosophy. What's so good about it, you can stay right in the church where you are and still take black nationalism as your philosophy. You can stay in any kind of civic organization that you belong to and still take black nationalism as your philosophy. You can be an atheist and still take black nationalism as your philosophy. This is a philosophy that eliminates the necessity for division and argument. Because if you're black, you should be thinking black. And if you're black and you're not thinking black at this late date, well, I'm sorry for you. Once you change your philosophy, you change your thought pattern. Once you change your thought pattern, you change your attitude. Once you change your attitude, it changes your behavior pattern. And then you go on into some action. As long as you got a sit-down philosophy, you'll have a sit-down thought pattern. And as long as you think that old sit-down thought, you'll be in some kind of sit-down action. They'll have you sitting in everywhere. It's not so good to refer to what you're going to do as a sit-in. Then right there, castrates you. Right there, it brings you down. What goes with it? What, think of the image of someone sitting. An old woman can sit. An old man can sit. A chump can sit. A coward can sit. Anything can sit. Well, you and I have been sitting long enough, and it's time today for us to start doing some standing and some fighting to back that up. When we look at other parts of this earth upon which we live, we find that black, brown, red, and yellow people in Africa and Asia are getting their independence. They're not getting it by singing, "We Shall Overcome." No, they're getting it through nationalism. It is nationalism that brought about the independence of the people in Asia. Every nation in Asia gained its independence through the philosophy of nationalism. Every nation on the African continent that has gotten its independence brought it about through the philosophy of nationalism. And it will take black nationalism that to bring about the freedom of 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country where we have suffered colonialism for the past 400 years. America is just as much a colonial power as England ever was. America is just as much a colonial power as France ever was. In fact, America is more so a colonial power than they, because she's a hypocritical colonial power behind it. What is 20th? What do you call second-class citizenship? Why, that's colonization. Second-class citizenship is nothing but 20th century slavery. How are you going to tell me you're a second-class citizen? They don't have second-class citizenship in any other government on this earth. They just have slaves and people who are free. Well, this country is a hypocrite. They try and make you think they set you free by calling you a second-class citizen. No, you're nothing but a 20th century slave. Just as it took nationalism to move, to remove colonialism from Asia and Africa, it'll take black nationalism today to remove colonialism from the backs and the minds of 22 million Afro-Americans here in this country. And 1964 looks like it might be the year of the ballot or the bullet. Why does it look like it might be the year of the ballot or the bullet? Because Negroes have listened to the trickery and the lies and the false promises of the white man now for too long. And they're fed up. They've become disenchanted. They've become disillusioned. They've become dissatisfied. And all of this has built up frustrations in the black community that makes the black community throughout America today more explosive than all of the atomic bombs the Russians can ever invent. Whenever you got a racial powder keg sitting in your lap, you're in more trouble than if you had an atomic powder keg sitting in your lap. When a racial powder keg goes off, it doesn't care who it knocks out the way. Understand this, it's dangerous. And in 1964, this seems to be the year. Because what can the white man use now to fool us? After he put down that march on Washington, and you see all through that now, he tricked you, had you marching down to Washington. Yes, had you marching back and forth between the feet of a dead man named Lincoln and another dead man named George Washington, singing, "We Shall Overcome." He made a chump out of you. He made a fool out of you. He made you think you were going somewhere and you end up going nowhere but between Lincoln and Washington. So today our people are disillusioned. They've become disenchanted. They've become dissatisfied. And in their frustrations, they want action.
Black power, black power, black power. Black power, yes, 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 black power. Welcome, black family. New Black Panther Party Radio. Call in right now, 718-664-6398. The new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense on our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. Black with us tonight on day 440 as we continue in part three of our honoring our great ancestor, Malcolm X, as you heard in the beginning of this broadcast live here with your host, Brother Katib Siddiq, National Chief of Staff. I don't know, family. You know, everything that was presented in his introduction, and as I said it two nights ago, what the hell do I say? What the hell does anybody say that calls in here that can match the great wisdom of Malcolm X? But we must honor our ancestors. We must honor those that are with us today. We must honor those that walked among us and left such a great impact, like the Honorable Malcolm X. So we have everybody on the line tonight pressing number one to go live here in tonight's broadcast. It's time to get on the front line, family. Everything that Malcolm X had said, many of the issues that are stated by our ancestors, not only Malcolm X, but Kwame Ture, who we had in that power mix, they still remain today. So it doesn't mean that we should step back in our loving of our great ancestors, that we should step back and think that it's already been handled. It is not. We struggle today when we face the same issues that we did 60 something, 70, even 100 years ago. It's time to get on the front line. No more making excuses. No more bitching and complaining. No more listening to Biden. No more. It's time to face straight facts. We have to fight, as has been clarified and stated to us in the great wisdom of Malcolm X that we have played on this broadcast all the time, but more intentionally for the last three nights. Visit our national website. Join the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, www.mbpp.org. I mean, what are we waiting for? What's the hold up? What's the hold up? It's wartime. No matter where you look, it's wartime, family. Not only that, but war has been continued to be clarified by us by our ancestors. This is not something that comes with ease. It's not something that we really want. But if we are to fight war, we must have the resources to do so. We will not beg. There should be support for the militant. There should be support for the militant in the ranks of the military. There should be support for the militant outside of the ranks of the military. And all of us should be always thinking self-defense. We're seeing now rain and thunderstorms. We're seeing the weather begin to pick up and make its familiar turnaround as it does around this time of year. Next thing you know, we'll be hearing about storms coming into the similar and familiar areas that the storms hit our people every year. So we're giving a long Hail Mary way out warning that everybody begin to prepare. If you have not already prepared, whatever preparation that you've had last year and the years before, it's time to stock up and stack up on a more preparation and resource items to be able to protect our families. And as we know, these storms will only increase. And that is why not only should we join the new Black Panther Party, but we should support the militant. Here we have our humanitarian arm in the new Black Panther Party Black Cross, where, you know, it has been successful search and rescue, successful recovery, successful community restoration and aid given out throughout our communities as we have suffered from storms, natural disasters that have been made worse, as we have had clarified by our great ancestors, but have been made worse by our common enemy, the goddamn white man. The new Black Panther Party Black Cross, always on the front line. Donate to the new Black Panther Party militants. Donate to the Freedom Fighters and the Vanguard. You can do that on Cash App, $, Black Power Dollar. All of that is important. For the last three nights, we have been seriously making it our business of being very intentional with really listening and analyzing all the great wisdom of our great ancestor, the Honorable Malcolm X. And for everybody listening here, you know, for the last three nights, we have really broken everything down. Really broken everything down. We've talked about how if it's not the great work that was done in the Nation of Islam with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if it's not that great work as a Muslim minister, if it's not his great work then as he expanded, if it's not his great work all around the world for Black nationalism and Pan-Africanism, an organization for Afro-American unity, and the legacy that has been left by our ancestor has inspired the platform that we stand on today and many platforms that come after that and will come today. We ask and answer the question time and time again on why is Malcolm X loved and loved so dearly and hated by the white man? Why? Why do they lie on our ancestors? And why do we allow for people to disrespect our ancestors? All of it comes down to the great wisdom and the teachings. And again, the wisdom that we hear should be used, especially as militants, for marching instruction, for research points, not just something that was said. We are privileged to be able to hear where many of us were not even born, to be able to live in a day where the wisdom is just as prominent as the man and is amongst the people today. And many of us, long before we ever had any type of real consciousness, some of us may have come into consciousness through the wisdom of the great and the honorable Malcolm X. We talk about how even still today, when we look at the teachings and the wisdom, it painted a picture, and it still paints the picture today. It's very clear that the tragedies that are in our communities, that the vicious, reactionary, fratricidal war that we suffer from in the ghettos that we're in. And as we heard Malcolm say earlier in this broadcast, what reduces our communities into ghettos, what has happened through our history, and we live in these communities, and because of the condition, we react in the way we react in the way of that condition. So if the condition is low down and filthy, then of course we're going to act that way. But it is not our nature to be going at it with one another. We cannot let go. And our hearts are so heavy every time we get on this broadcast. Now we have on our hearts, we have such a tragedy and a senseless murder of our young Panther cub, Lil Sanaa, Amenhotep, our National Field Marshal's daughter. And it pains us. And it's listening these last 3 days to these clips and putting them together. And it's troubling as a militant to know and to feel and to know for fact that all of the issues that Malcolm talked about, all of the issues that Kwame Ture addressed, we still live in the same condition. And as much as we say we love Malcolm, not many of us, too few of us, are willing to do the work, are willing to pass down that mentality and move in the way like are similar to Malcolm, and we find ourselves just worshiping when this man didn't ask to be worshipped. But what are we going to do? But this is what's in front of us. Every single thing that we have played that our great ancestor has said is a issue that's still plaguing the community, if not worse, today. The fact that it is normalized and it has become entertainment for the cracker to put it on the TV. We kill one another. This cracker's killing us. Were we not warned about this time and time again? Many who claim to love those who walk amongst us. And then when they go, we find ourselves all tossed up and, you know, because what is true and what is honest is that those who are the strongest of us are the most disrespected. Why is this? Those who are the most bravest of us are the most put down, the most scandalized. Why is this? And those who are proven house niggas, proven dangers to our community, don't deal with them. There's no criticism for them. Where's the work on abolishing, destroying, getting rid of this wicked mentality that we have? Young black man, young black woman, black teenagers, young black folks, and old black folks, all ages of black folks, so deprived of their sanity that we go off and we kill one another. Where does this come from? It is a deep self-hatred. And we were asked the question, and we have to continue to clarify, who taught us to hate ourselves? It's a question that we were asked to have clarified by our great honorable ancestor, Malcolm X, who asked us, who taught us to hate ourselves? Once we find who taught us to hate ourselves, and it's obvious who it is, the goddamn cracker, then we should take that energy and direct it to the cracker. But in fact, we do not. In fact, we are taught, it have not changed, that we should love the cracker in ways like we should love our enemy. We should turn the other cheek. We are one race. There's only one race, and it's the human race. Lies like that, trickery like that, put into the minds of our people. And we think it's just a little, everybody says it. You say things like, we don't want our children to, you know, be racist. All these lies we tell ourselves. And then what happens? There is no talk of political education or what happens to us, what has happened to us, and what can happen to us if we think critically as black nationalists. There is not much talk, and we're honest about that, in the black household. That's why we continue to bang on the political and with the political education. It's not enough talk and not enough work on self-defense, although there could be more on how to defend ourselves. Too much talk about what we're going to do to a nigga who ain't give us $5 back. What are we going to do to the bitch if she don't come up with the money? Or what are we going to do to each other? But what about Trump and Biden and Fauci and all these devils who are killing us on many scales, too many to count? What are we going to do to them? First, what are we going to do with ourselves to develop the skills and use our skills that we already have to set up the infrastructure of black nationalism? We will crush this cracker simply through setting up our own nation as we demand for reparations. This is the philosophy of black nationalism. Malcolm X was not a civil rights activist. He spoke clearly many times against that, civil rights. And at this point, to be honest, it's almost like a damn cuss word. The hell is civil rights? We have been robbed of our humanity. And this is why we do this to each other. This is why we kill each other. This is why we are confused and disillusioned, dissatisfied, as Malcolm said. Because we are taught the complete opposite of what our nature is by a thing, a man-made mutated cave beast who takes what we have given to the world and uses it as a weapon against us. We heard Ballad of the Bullet by Malcolm X. Then we played the first episode, the first part that we did of honoring Malcolm X. We played the response of Dr. Khaled when he did the bullet of the book. But we live in a day, family, where we have had it clarified by many of our ancestors. It does not matter what we say or how we want to spin it. Ain't no freedom coming from America's legislation. Ain't no freedom coming from America's vote. There are maybe some tactics that may be useful. But there is not one thing that is going to bring about freedom. In fact, it's the whole thing. It's us having a whole mind of an entire people. Malcolm tells us that the grand jury, he says the police, he says the Uncle Tom, he says the controlled press, and even the coroner are stacked against the so-called Negro, stacked against the black man, stacked against the black woman. He talks about the dangers of the controlled press and how they put and paint the black community as a criminal element. Malcolm says, and he says that once the controlled press is able to paint the black community as a criminal element, he says, then it gives way to the police to come into our communities, and then our communities become a police state. And now we live in a whole plantation police state. Police pigs everywhere armed, ready to assassinate innocent, unarmed black people on sight. And that is what they do, and they continue to do it. It is used as highlight real propaganda all damn day long to try to pump fear into the masses of black people, to try to convince us and lower our morale that we won't fight. This is what Malcolm talks about, because he talks about how we're nothing but a bunch of ex-slaves. He says he didn't want to say it, but he had to say it. And how we don't want to hear it, but we have to hear it. Nothing but a bunch of ex-slaves. And it is indicative by the way many of us act. We act like niggas on a plantation, hunched over, waiting for a pat on the head from massa. We act this way. It doesn't make us feel good to say this, but we got to analyze the damn situation so we can get out of this oppression. We act like slaves. America has not moved away from slavery. It has only changed the name of slavery into the prison industrial complex, private prison industry. It have only changed the name of the slave catchers of the Ku Klux Klan as the pig department of the local secret order of fraternal pig department of America, who are the local military who kill our people. They have not backed off of slavery. They now call it the American game plan, Agenda 21. They call it the King Alfred plan. They call it America. They may not call it slavery, but as far as we're concerned, we are still enslaved in this nation until we are free from the grips of this goddamn white man. And it ain't going to come from asking our former slave master, please, Cracker, could you free us? It won't happen like that. It is going to happen when you break his goddamn hands off of around us, when you defend yourself and arm yourself against the police murder. Arm the youth with the knowledge of self-value, worth, and the legacy of black power, black nationalism, and the African legacy of our ancestors. Arm them with the knowledge that will let them know that they are something and that they matter and that their value is not nothing. When we think of ourselves so low, we don't care if we live or we die. We have to begin to start to put our youth, put them mentally on a pedestal, and let them know that they can accomplish what they will. But some of us who call ourselves adults are nothing but a bunch of whiny-ass little kids that have grown taller. So therein lies a whole nother problem. But we have to look at it, family, as we honor the great legacy, as we honor the great wisdom, as we honor the great mind, and we stand and fight in the way of our great ancestor, the most honorable Malcolm X. This has been a three-day presentation that will extend on into the 19th of the born day of our great ancestor, who asked of us in his address, what is Black Revolution, family? He says in that address, he says that of all of our studies, he says that history is best qualified to reward our research. He tells us that when we see that we've got a problem, all we have to do is examine the historic method that others have used all over the world and by others and who have had that problem, and we can figure out how to solve ours. We can figure out how to get ours straight. We have to look at it. There is no nation throughout history that have ever gotten out of oppression through a sit-in, through a boycott, definitely have not got it through a barbecue, haven't got it through posting pictures on Facebook, haven't got it through liking or sharing Instagram or Facebook posts. In fact, there's the revolution and the rebellion against the white man that started when this filthy cracker first tried to steal an African. It was somebody whipping his white ass all the way back to where he came from. It is just now recently that we have gotten into this position. Don't get it twisted. There have always been rebellion against this goddamn white man. But as the rebellion has always been. The rebellion has been longer than the civil rights movement. The rebellion has been longer than we are even told. And it is through the rebellion of black people around this country, in the Caribbean, all over Africa, in Asia even. It is the rebels, it is the freedom fighters who have gotten the white man to change in many ways the way he approaches the situation. He realized during the time of Malcolm that not only was great black minds like Malcolm X and great young black people who would come on the scene like Huey P. Newton were coming up down the line of the great divide, he also seen Africa. Look at it. Look at it. At the same time, revolution was stirring in Africa, stirring in Asia, and today, revolution is on the mind of black people. We may not be able to say what it is that we're thinking, but we will tell you now that that is revolution. When you are thinking that you don't want to be on the COVID-19 infested plantation of the white man and possibly get you and everybody you know sick along with you. Understanding now that the white man breaks out in this goddamn virus, this cave beast, every 100 years, but he has in the last 30 years, even maybe 40, he has managed to manipulate these viruses to create viruses that he can work to do greater harm to our immune system. This is the fact of the matter. We want our own nation. Those of us who realize and have revolution on our minds, we don't want to be on the COVID-19 infested plantation. We don't want to be continuously told what we will get and what they think we deserve when the fact remains that there is a demand that has not been met. And this cracker tried one time. He didn't really try, but God damn it, it didn't work. But we don't want to hear about that. We're talking about the demand for reparations today in 2021 as this radio broadcasting at 8:08 p.m. Central Time. There's a demand for reparations that will be met. This cracker will pay. We will not allow for America to pretend like all of the world's problems got a goddamn thing to do about them paying up for the death and destruction that they have brought upon the African diaspora. They cannot slither their way out of this one. Not this one. They will not bow out on this one. There is no compromise in the struggle for our liberation, and there is no compromise in the demand for our reparation. It is not just some word. It is not just, it is nationalism. I tell you, so many of us talk about the love that we have for our great ancestors, but do we know? How can you, I've had people who call themselves nationalists but want to argue and debate about reparation. There is no debate. If you are a nationalist and politically you don't support reparations, you ain't no nationalist. You a backdoor integrationalist. You love the white man. You don't want to see the white man pay up for what he has done to black people. The people will not spare the enemy. We're talking about a land. We're talking about diamond resource mines, gold mine rich rally land that have been stolen forcefully. There were no deals made on during the Berlin Conference when old cracker killer murdering, serial killing, raping pedophile Leopold of Belgium set up the Berlin Conference. There were no African tribes invited to the meeting of the Berlin Conference. The same organization set up then by Malcolm X of the organization, the Afro-American Unity, was in response to the wicked deeds that the Berlin Conference has done on our people and the effect of that conference, and they call it the scramble for Africa. But they went in, the cracker, the German, the Jew, the Arab and the Jew. They went in too, and the damn Russians, and all of them, and the Polish, and the Spanish, and the Portuguese, and the English, and all of them. They went and carved up our land. They went and carved up the heart of the world. They went and dug out the resources, and they did not get invited. They came in murdering, marauding, raping, pillaging, and killing. This is the truth of the history of America and what they have sanctioned, because America was up in that too. And through this Berlin Conference, we find ourselves today looking at the consequences as we have faced what no other people have faced. And here we find ourselves 60 years after the assassination of our great ancestor, just almost 60 years. And we find ourselves suffering from the same issues that were trying to be clarified. We cannot pretend as if something had changed. Nothing has changed. Our great and honorable ancestor Malcolm X taught us to look out and for us to analyze the relationship of the white liberal and the white conservative. We will say, and we teach, and we know that there is no difference between the Democrat and the Republican. Ain't no difference between the Democrat and the Republican. The Democrat and the Republican are of the same tribe. They're of the same mafioso faction. Whereas the Democrat may say one thing on television, the Republican may say one thing on television. They work behind the scenes and they agree on the common goal, which is to oppress the black man in America. This is what their common agreement is. So they may go back and forth about ideology. See, that's our problem. Not only do we want to go back and forth about ideology, but we don't want to share the same common goal. You want to act as if freedom is not the goal. We ask them, what is the goal? And that is only for those who think that we're free in this wicked nation. But it makes no difference. Malcolm asked for us to analyze the relationship between the white liberal and the white conservative and black people. But there is no difference between the white liberal and the white conservative or the Democrat and the Republican, independent, or any other party. Why would we vote? And we are the new Black Panther Party. We are our own political party. And we are and have a military to back our political ideology. This is what black nationalism looks like. It is slavery to vote, because it's like if you have something and someone takes what you have, and then to get it back, they tell you we're going to vote and have a vote on if I'm going to give it back. And then when I get it back, we're going to share it, and I'm going to make the decision on everything that goes along with you getting back your property or your car or whatever was taken from us. It doesn't make a difference, family. No matter how you spin it, there is no difference between Democrat and Republican, and we have to have black nationalism, as clarified by our great and honorable ancestor, Malcolm X. Call in right now, 718-664-6398, New Black Panther Party Radio. Visit our national website, mbpp.org. Press the number one to go live in tonight's broadcast. We're joined here tonight by our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. Can you hear me, comrade? Black power.
Black power loud and clear. I just wanted to give you some black up on their statement about the voting. Okay. Now, we all know that America is a criminal enterprise. And not only was this land stolen from our ancestors, because, yes, we are, those of us who are wide awake, who have full consciousness, who have done their history, you will find and see that the indigenous people of this land are original black people. It's plain and simple. The indigenous people, the original people in the northern hemisphere of this America are black people. Indigenous is the terminology. However, with the technology that this cracker has played on you, this spell, this optical illusion that we are living under. We are living in a state of accepting of lies. I'm putting these headphones on, so hopefully it'll come clear once I put these headphones on. But we are, look at the masses of the people. The mass of the people have been indoctrinated by false education, indoctrinated by traditions of slavery, of enslavement. Traditions of enslavement along with miseducation, an education system that indoctrinates you to be a subservient to so-called white supremacy. America's education system has indoctrinated you to be subservient to so-called white supremacy. It indoctrinates you into a black inferiority complex, where 99.9% of the information that you are receiving, you were told it was brought to you by some European colonialist who in fact stole all of the knowledge and plagiarized all of the information that was given to them by our ancestors. Remember, Europe was it was and is a barren land. It does not produce. It does not produce anything of great substance. There are no natural resources of any value to speak on out of Europe. It was in fact a prison colony where those who were found to be disagreeable out of the motherland were sent to that barren, freezing terrain as a punishment. This is the history of the European. The term peon comes from Europe. A peon. You're a peon. Europeans. We were Africans, the kings and queens, original people, and we charted every corner of this planet. And our ancestors settled here in the Northern Hemisphere. We have an existence that has been documented by sculptures and pyramids and temples for over tens of thousands of years. They have sculptures and edifices that show the original people on every corner of this planet. And most of those temples or edifices will show you black people, and many of those are over 10,000, 20,000 years. Although there are also fossils and bones that have been proven to all at every corner, and particularly we'll speak of in Africa, that are millions of years old, that are black people. So we are truly the original people. Africa being the root land, the only land mass that is actually rooted into the earth's core. So all of the other land masses are separated from Africa. So regardless, geographically, regardless of the fact, black people are the original people of the entire planet. Even if there was land mass shifts, even with the everything that's taking place, we are the original people. You see the cotton balls? We are the original people. So with that being said, this situation, and then the European has only come into power to being into power in the last 500 years. We have dominated the planet for tens of thousands of years in rulership. We have been, in fact, the European did not have an existence more than 6,000 years. We have temples that didn't even show any sign of a European. Then we had temples that showed when they first appeared. But they've only been in rulership for, really, to be quite honest, for the last couple of hundred years. The last 200 years, and they only got to be in so-called rulership for after they had enslaved and pillaged our lands and worked our people for free to death for 200 years. America, this government, is only a couple of hundred years old. In fact, we have people who are 100 years old that live today. So it's really not an old country. An old government. And this government was based on a criminal act. The greatest crime against humanity. The greatest crime to take place in all of the universe. And it's still taking place. It is a Ponzi scheme. Was the enslavement of us, the taking of the land from our ancestors, and the mind fuckery to not only have you worshiping and your whole educational system is based off this cracker. In fact, you've been indoctrinated. Our people have been indoctrinated to worshiping these devils. Your religious systems. You work for them, so they become your, still your master. And then you uphold this criminal enterprise of stolen your heirs, your rights to the land, to governance, to self-determination was stolen from you. And it was brutalized. You were forced into submission by brutality. And you remain in submission. Our people remain in submission by brutality and technology. This same fucked up education system. But it's better a National Chief of Staff was speaking on, which I had to chime in on the scheme of voting. In a legal context, if someone stole something from you, and just even on the streets, if somebody took something from you, they stole it. They kidnapped you and forced you to submit under duress. If you've been robbed and held kidnapped and under duress, and then you so-called are emancipated, you so-called are freed, but you are freed, but under the conditions that the people who robbed, enslaved, and kidnapped you rule you. This is our condition. This is our status. So when you vote, you are affirming this criminal act. You are saying, yes, I affirm that this land that was stolen from me, the murder, the torture, the rape, the sodomy, the pedophilia, the destruction that happened to me and our ancestors, I affirm that the people that did that to me and my ancestors can still rule and govern over me. This is the betrayal that you're doing. You're saying, yes, I know you robbed and stole and took all this and beat me and bleed my ancestors, but I accept it. I accept it. And to prove that I'm accepting it, I am signing on the dotted line this contract, my signature, my stamp of approval. And you are selling yourself out and you're selling out your generations. You are acknowledging that you are a servant and that you are allowing these invaders, these murderers, to remain in rulership and governance, and that you will follow them. And they tell you which overseer to pick from. And you happily take your deaf, dumb, and blind ass down there and pick. And they got one cracker that calls you a nigger. That's the conservative. And one cracker that calls you a pickaninny. It's just a little bit easier, softer way of saying nigger. It's just not, but it's still derogatory. That's the liberal. The liberal calls you a pickaninny, and the conservative calls you a nigger. But they all are crackers. They all are devils. They are all getting you to participate in this scheme against your own self-interest. And as we are coming upon the birthday of Elhaj Malik Shabazz, we want to give a Black Power salute to our National Chief of Staff, who's been rolling out this Malcolm Marathon, as we have so much work that is to be done and going on. We have been very busy. A lot has taken place. But we're getting ready to come out on some shit, on some of this madness that's going on in a very intense manner. But I just wanted to give my comrades some backup, some black up on this scheme of voting. And then the killer part, then they find the most articulate amongst us, and they say, hey, why don't you come and represent your people for us, and we'll give you a few trinkets. 40 million black people, you take all of these states and countries and political positions, you add them up, it might be 400 black politicians. I'm saying from state, local. And you basically become the sorcerers, the gatekeepers, to keep our people tied up in this spell of entrapment, of enslavement, and affirming a criminal enterprise. I rob you. I steal from you. And then you come and say, it's okay. You can still rule me. I'm gonna prove it. This is why no other people is marketed to as aggressively as the black people to vote. No one is marketed so heavily. No, the monies are heavily dumped. Billions of dollars are dumped into the black community to get you to vote because you're signing away your birthright. And you're
so
also affirming that you are.
They say vote or die. That's the shit that kills me.
Yeah, and also you're affirming that you're mentally ill. You're also affirming that you're mentally ill, and this is why they say that you are wards. That you are incompetent of providing for yourself. That you are mentally slow, as they say in your birth certificate. We have to take care of you. And you know why? Because they said, surely not a sane person. No one in their right mind would let this happen. So we have to take care of these imbeciles. And you affirm it, not only in voting, when you celebrate their wicked holidays, when you send your children to them, when you go groveling to them for their jobs, instead of being a free individual, a free brother and sister, a free man or woman. Don't you know our people had more sense before the civil rights movement, the scheme of civil rights? Our people had more sense straight after slavery than these generations. They had sense enough to build their own schools and hospitals and neighborhood farms and build black families. But then the betrayal came in. Those cracker-loving, wannabe with the cracker-ass niggas wanted to integrate with the open enemy and get rid of all of our independence and assimilate with the devil. So your betrayal has caused our people to degenerate, to have even more shame than ever. Your treachery is not going without consequence. We have to change that. There must be a major paradigm shift. We must uproot the worship of the devil, the wanting to look like the devil, the wanting to be like the devil. And there are those who are aligning, even in the so-called revolutionary movement. You got individuals who are pushing this voting bullshit, who are trying to bring pigs into the movement. I tell you, brothers and sisters, you do something because you think it's popular and watch the bullshit unfold. I'm going to make it known right here, right now, that this formation is not falling for no fucking assimilation bullshit. We're not falling for no assimilation bullshit. A bunch of shit about to come down the pipeline. We're not going to tell you all right now, all of our moves, but keep watching. Yeah, and those that know, and those that need to know will find out. But keep it black. Keep it powerful. Black power.
Black power, black power. Our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. And I tell you what, it's an honor, you know, to do this broadcast because, you know, all goddamn day, all I hear, lie after lie, even niggas be lying. It ain't just the white man. We be lying to lie after lie after fucking lie. This is why we get so caught up in everything. And then we get to come on here and, you know, just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. What's the repercussion to telling the truth? Things get better. The white man get mad.
You know, he bitch, you know what I'm saying, survey you and do the shit that any he's supposed to do that. The white man's supposed to be wicked. The white man's supposed to be nervous when black folks don't want to be niggas. You know, don't, you know, you don't even want to believe that the white man is wicked. We know the white man is wicked. It doesn't matter what you say about the white man. What are we going to do? Because some people, oh, I hate the white man. Oh, we just want to be free. But a lot of you niggas, like Kwame Ture talked about the African bourgeoisie, and Malcolm X talked about the black bourgeoisie. Sister Crystal, you said it, and I'm going to just black you up. There's also some revolutionary niggas. That's some bourgeoisie. You cannot, that ain't even go together. You cannot be a rebel and be a bourgeoisie. My God, you know, black folks, don't focus on all of the ignorance that's going on. We know, dirty glass next to a clean glass. Look at the great work of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense under this National Central Committee, under our national leadership, all of those great black rebels all over the nation, great new Black Panther Party members, officials, you know, really all around the world. The scope and the reach of the revolution is right in front of our very eyes. Do not look out for martial law to come marching down the street, because we live in martial law. It is not normal to be under these conditions. And the same thing that our great ancestor, Haj Malik Shabazz, Brother Malcolm X, the same thing that he laid out, Kwame Ture, we still dealing with these same issues today. You know, and that's why I think a lot of people, they give honor to our ancestors. They, you know, they go through biographies and everything. But I wanted to make a point that we listen. We just listen to the wisdom, like seriously, and realize that if you're hearing out of Malcolm's words is what you too afraid to say. Many of us too afraid to do. We gotta toughen up and stop letting the white man chump us out. Stop letting niggas chump us out. So as we continue with this, you know, honoring, you know, we've this Malcolm marathon, we continue to drum the spirits. This is the summons as well. Do y'all know? I got my altar going. This is bringing that spirit here, which is never left, and it moves in us. Malcolm ain't went nowhere, but his physical body is gone, and many of us still looking for somebody who was here to come deal with the issues we face today. It's not going to happen. Just deal with it. It's on us. So as we continue to honor our great ancestor, we still have 25 minutes left in this broadcast. We want to hear from the people. This is the people's broadcast, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We broadcast here every night. You know where to find us, in the battlefield. And even when we're in the battlefield, you can tune in. We'll be on here at 718-664-6398. Press the number one. It haven't changed. All y'all know what's up. It haven't changed. We're going to keep on continuing to tell the truth. We want to thank everybody that has tuned in and listened in to this broadcast tonight as we continue to honor our great ancestors. We have our National Minister of Culture, Brother Greg, calling in at press the number one. And you've been, you know, participating in this Malcolm X Marathon. Black power, Brother Greg.
Black power. Black power. Hey, bro, you hit it right in the head. Ain't nobody coming back. It's all on us. You know, they came, they were here. They're still here with us, as one of my great teachers, Professor Kaba, would always say that, you know, one day we definitely need to strive to work to become one of our ancestors and, you know, pass that on. What Malcolm laid down for us and many of our other great ancestors, they laid the work, the foundation down. You know, they knew what they were facing. They knew what they were up against. They knew many people who were, you know, behind the scenes, you know, who were just coons and were going to stab them in the back and so forth. They knew all of that. But they pressed forward and they left us a legacy for us to step in their shoes and fulfill what we need to do. They're not coming back, bro. And I'm so glad you really hit that. You know, there's no need for any of us to sit back and wait and hope, you know, for some miracle, you know, coming out of the sky or whatever. But we need to just step up and do the work. I say it all the time. You know, everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something. And collectively, if we have that mindset, man, we can do so damn much, so damn much. Ain't nobody coming back. Everybody out here listening, hit that number one. We got about, what, 30, 25, you know, 20 minutes or so. Hit that number one. You know, Malcolm X left that foundation. Professor Kaba, you know, I was checking him out earlier. We speak all the time. He put up a nice little video about when he first, his first encounter, you know, meeting Malcolm X. You know, so, hey, ain't nobody coming back for us. That was an inspiring time, moment for Professor Kaba meeting, you know, our brother, you know, our ancestor Malcolm. And he shares that all the time. And even to this day, he will share his legacy and what we need to emulate and imitate, you know, from him. So out there listening, hit that number one, bro. Hit that number one. And I do want to tell you, say it again, bro. I'm so glad you made that point. Ain't nobody coming back. We got to do the work ourselves. We definitely got to get out there and do it our damn selves. Ain't nobody else going to do it. Ain't nobody coming to save us. Dr. Henry Clark always said, we ain't got no friends. We got each other. That's about it. And we ain't got no damn friends. Black power.
Black power, Brother Greg. And we say to you, brother, you know, you keep calling in and all the great work that you've done. And, you know, the brother has been, you know, nonstop on the ground, feeding the people, all the great work that Brother Greg does. And, you know, your lady, you know what I'm saying, and even your children, you know what I'm saying. All of the work that you guys do is greatly appreciated. We say that to all of our comrades. It is a collective work and responsibility of the Black nation. That's Black nationalism. So anytime we listen to this broadcast, family, we're listening to the propaganda of a Black nation. Anytime we are, you know, looking to the new Black Panther Party, we're looking at a platform of Black nationalism, not just that, pan-Africanism. Right? African, we're African collective, but it is Black nationalism. Anytime that we're giving honor to our great ancestor, that is also Black nationalism, because we have to keep the narrative the same. Don't let these crackers control the narrative. And as they say, you know, one of the greatest forms of respect and admiration many times is imitation. So in that same way, that is why we continue to play the great works and the great wisdom of our great ancestors as we've been broadcasting for these last 3 days. And let me tell you something, when you listen, you will find, and you just look around, and you might, after this one, you might want to go through your phone and find out if you got some house niggas that you've been talking to. Find out if you got some house niggas that are around you that you need to separate from. Because we recognize this as a major issue, and we have been dealing with these niggas the right way by exposing them and checking them face to face. But you know how a house nigga do. A house nigga stay in the house, you know. They don't want to come out the house and face the problem. Those who continue to try to scandalize and slander the name of the revolutionary, they will attempt to do just like they attempted to do during the days of our great ancestor, and they will try to disrupt and try to put a different face on a liberation movement. Not going to happen. We will preserve the legacy of the movement of Malcolm X, and we will preserve the legacy as we are those who have come up out of the grassroots works and wisdom and movements of the great Malcolm X. So we will preserve our narrative. So after this outro, after the way we end this show, we find that some of y'all might be looking out even very close to you for some people that may be house niggas, because we still got house niggas today. It's a damn shame. But there is a rise of the militant, of Black people who want to be free, Black people who just need the training, who need the direction, who have the heart, who just need a little push, who need to get, you know, on the right track, right? This is the people's platform. So the door is always open for the militant. We're always looking for the warrior class. Visit our national website, mbpp.org. We thank you for joining us here on day 440, New Black Panther Party Radio, as we honor our great ancestor, the honorable, the legendary, Elhaj Malik Shabazz, Brother Malcolm X. We're going to take this show out. Black Power Family.
To understand this, you have to go back to what young brother here referred to as the house Negro and the field Negro back during slavery. There was two kinds of slaves. There was the house Negro and the field Negro. The house Negro, they lived in the house with master. They dressed pretty good. They ate good because they ate his food, what he left. They lived in the attic or the basement, but still they lived near their master. And they loved their master more than the master loved himself. They would give their life to save their master's house quicker than the master would. The house Negro, if the master say, we got a good house here, the house Negro say, yeah, we got a good house here. Whenever the master said we, he said we. That's how you can tell a house Negro. If the master's house caught on fire, the house Negro would fight harder to put the blaze out than the master would. If the master got sick, the house Negro would say, what's the matter, boss? We sick. We sick. He identified himself with his master more than his master identified with himself. And if you came to the house Negro and said, let's run away, let's escape, let's separate, that house Negro would look at you and say, man, you crazy. What you mean separate? Where is there a better house than this? Where can I wear better clothes than this? Where can I eat better food than this? That was that house Negro. In those days, he was called a house nigger. And that's what we call him today because we still got some house niggers running around here. This modern house Negro loves his master. He wants to live near him. He'll pay three times as much as the house is worth just to live near his master. And then brag about, I'm the only Negro out here.
I'm the only one on my job. I'm the only one in this school. You nothing but a house Negro. And if someone come to you right now and say, let's separate, you say the same thing that the house Negro said on the plantation. What you mean, separate? From America? This good white man? Where you gonna get a better job than you get here? I mean, this is what you say. I ain't left nothing in Africa. That's what you say. Why, you left your mind in Africa. On that same plantation, there was the field Negro. The field Negro, those were the masses. There was always more Negroes in the field than there was Negroes in the house. The Negro in the field caught hell. He ate leftovers. In the house, they ate high up on the hog. The Negro in the field didn't get nothing but what was left of the insides of the hog. They call them chitlins nowadays. In those days, they call them what they were, guts. That's what you were, a gut eater. And some of you are still gut eaters. The field Negro was beaten from morning till night. He lived in a shack, in a hut. He wore cast-off clothes. And he hated his master. I say he hated his master. He was intelligent. That house Negro loved his master. But that field Negro, remember, they were in the majority. And they hated the master. When the house caught on fire, he didn't try and put it out. That field Negro prayed for a wind. for a breeze. When the master got sick, the field Negro prayed that he died. If someone come to the field Negro and said, let's separate, let's run, he didn't say, where are we going? He said, any place is better than here. You got field Negroes in America today. I'm a field Negro. The masses are the field Negroes. When they see this man's house on fire, you don't hear these little Negroes talking about our government is in trouble. They say the government is in trouble. Imagine a Negro, our government. I even heard one say, our astronauts. They won't even let him near the plant. And our astronauts, our Navy, that's a Negro that's out of his mind. That's a Negro that's out of his mind. Just as the slave master in that day used Tom, the house Negro, to keep the field Negroes in check, the same old slave master today has Negroes who are nothing but modern Uncle Toms, 20th century Uncle Toms, to keep you and me in check, keep us under control, keep us passive and peaceful and nonviolent. That's Tom making you nonviolent. It's like when you go to the dentist and the man is going to take your tooth. You're going to fight him when he starts pulling. So they squirt some stuff in your jaw called Novocaine to make you think they're not doing anything to you. So you sit there, and because you got all that Novocaine in your jaw, you suffer peacefully. Blood running all down your jaw. And you don't know what's happening because someone has taught you to suffer peacefully. The white man do the same thing to you in the street. When he gonna want to put knots on your head and take advantage of you and don't have to be afraid of you fighting back, to keep you from fighting back, he get these old religious Uncle Toms to teach you and me that just like Novocaine, suffer peacefully. Don't stop suffering, just suffer peacefully. As Reverend Cleek pointed out, let your blood flow in the streets. This is a shame. And you know he's a Christian preacher. If it's a shame to him, you know what it is to me. Because nothing in our book, the Quran, as you call it, Koran, teaches us to suffer peacefully. Our religion teaches us to be intelligent, be peaceful, be courteous, obey the law, respect everyone. But if someone puts his hand on you, send them to the cemetery. That's a good religion. In fact, that's that old-time religion. That's the one that Ma and Pa used to talk about. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a head for a head, and a life for a life. That's a good religion. And then anybody, no one resents that kind of religion being taught but a wolf who intends to make you his meal. This is the way it is with the white man in America. He's a wolf and you a sheep. Anytime a shepherd, a pastor, teach you and me not to run from the white man and at the same time teach us don't fight the white man, he's a traitor. Yeah, to you and me. Don't lay down our life all by itself. No. Preserve your life. It's the best thing you got. And if you got to give it up, let it be even Stephen. The slave master took Tom and dressed him well and fed him well and even gave him a little education, a little education. Gave him a long coat and a top hat and made all the other slaves look up to him. Then he used Tom to control them. The same strategy that was used in those days is used today by the same white man. He take a Negro, so-called Negro, and make him prominent. Build him up. Publicize him. Make him a celebrity. And then he becomes a spokesman for Negroes and a Negro leader. I would like to just mention one thing else quickly, and that is The method that the white man uses, how the white man uses these big guns or Negro leaders against the black revolution. They are not a part of the black revolution. They're used against the black revolution. When Martin Luther King failed to desegregate Albany, Georgia, the civil rights struggle in America reached its low point. King became bankrupt almost as a leader. Plus, even financially, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference was in financial trouble. Plus, it was in trouble, period, with the people when they failed to desegregate Albany, Georgia. Other Negro civil rights leaders of so-called national stature became fallen idols. As they became fallen idols, began to lose their prestige and influence, local Negro leaders began to stir up the masses. In Cambridge, Maryland, Gloria Richardson. In Danville, Virginia, and other parts of the country, local leaders began to stir up our people at the grassroots level. This was never done by these Negroes whom you recognize of national stature. They controlled you, but they never incited you or excited you. They controlled you. They contained you. They kept you on the plantation. As soon as King failed in Birmingham, Negroes took to the streets. King got out and went out to California to a big rally and raised about, I don't know how many thousands of dollars. Come to Detroit and had a march and raised some more thousands of dollars. And recall, right after that, Wilkins attacked King, accused King and the Corps of starting trouble everywhere and then making the NAACP get him out of jail and spend a lot of money, and then he accused King and Corps of raising all the money and not paying it back. This happened. I got it in documented evidence in the newspaper. Roy started attacking King, and King started attacking Roy, and Farmer started attacking both of them. And as these Negroes of national stature begin to attack each other, they begin to lose their control of the Negro masses. And Negroes was out there in the streets. They was talking about, we're going to march on Washington. By the way, and right at that time, Birmingham had exploded, and the Negroes in Birmingham, remember, they also exploded. They began to stab the crackers in the back and bust them upside the head. Yes, they did. That's when Kennedy sent in the troops down in Birmingham. So, and right after that, Kennedy got on the television and said, this is a moral issue. That's when he said he's going to put out a civil rights bill. And when he mentioned civil rights bill and the Southern crackers started talking about they were going to boycott it or filibuster it, then the Negroes started talking about what? We're going to march on Washington, march on the Senate, march on the White House, march on the Congress and tie it up, bring it to a halt. Don't let the government proceed. They even said they were going to go out to the airport and lay down on the runway and don't let no airplanes land. I'm telling you what they said. That was revolution. That was revolution. That was the black revolution. It was the grassroots out there in the street. scared the white man to death, scared the white power structure in Washington, D.C. to death. I was there when they found out that this black steamroller was going to come down on the Capitol. They called in Wilkins. They called in Randolph. They called in these national Negro leaders that you respect and told them, call it off. Kennedy said, look, y'all letting this thing go too far. And old Tom said, boss, I can't stop it because I didn't start it. I'm telling you what they said. They said, I'm not even in it, much less at the head of it. They said, these Negroes are doing things on their own. They're running ahead of us. And that old shrewd fox, he said, well, if you all aren't in it, I'll put you in it. I'll put you at the head of it. I'll endorse it. I'll welcome it. I'll help it. I'll join it. A matter of hours went by. They had a meeting at the Carlyle Hotel in New York City. The Carlyle Hotel is owned by the Kennedy family. That's the hotel Kennedy spent the night at two nights ago. Belongs to his family. A philanthropic society headed by a white man named Stephen Currier called all the top civil rights leaders together at the Carlyle Hotel and told them that by you all fighting each other, you're destroying the civil rights movement. And since you're fighting over money from white liberals, let us set up what's known as the Council for United Civil Rights Leadership. Let's form this council, and all the civil rights organizations will belong to it. And we'll use it for fundraising purposes. Let me show you how tricky the white man is. And as soon as they got it formed, they elected Whitney Young as the chairman. And who you think became the co-chairman? Stephen Currier, the white man. A millionaire. Powell was talking about it down at the Cobo today. This is what he was talking about. Powell knows it happened. Randolph knows it happened. Wilkins knows it happened. King knows it happened. Every one of that so-called Big Six, they know what happened. Once they formed it, with the white man over it, he promised them and gave them $800,000 to split up between the Big Six and told them that after the march was over, they'd give them $700,000 more. $1.5 million split up between leaders that you've been following, going to jail for, crying crocodile tears for, and they've nothing but Frank James and Jesse James and what you call it, brothers. Soon as they got the setup organized, the white men made available to them top public relations experts. Opened the news media across the country at their disposal. And then they begin to project these...